Would you hire an accountant that's not faithful? Say that rounds up or that rounds down. You do not want an accountant that rounds numbers. You want one that's faithful, that just says, no, this is what it is. You don't want someone, if you want, just think about the idea of faithful. And consider also the idea of faithful in a person's life. For example, most of us live our lives and consider our lives in the sense of goals. What do you want out of life? What are your goals in life? Say, for example, your earthly goals. Do you have earthly goals in your life? I mean, maybe you have the earthly goal of building an estate, you know, and having a nice retirement and, you know, buying a new boat. I don't know what your earthly goals are. Maybe it's to, you know, get an associate's degree. Maybe it's to get married. I don't know. You've got some earthly goals. How about some spiritual goals? I imagine most of us in this room have some spiritual goals. I'd like to win souls. I'd like a few of my coworkers. I want them saved. I want them snatched out of the burning fires of hell right in front of my eyes. I want to see them saved. It's a spiritual goal I have. I've got spiritual goals for the church. I have spiritual goals for all of our churches. I've got spiritual goals for my children, for my son-in-laws. I've got spiritual goals. Amen. And I think you do too. But don't overlook the fact that some people don't have even that as an option.
Yeah.
In fact, I have not been able to get it out of my head just how spoiled of a people we are.
Yeah.
As compared to everybody else. I was reading just recently about the church in Shanshu, China, had several thousand members, and the authorities got upset at them, and so they went and destroyed their building, and forced them then to meet back like they used to in homes, but they have so many, and they just started meeting out in the, and it was in the winter in North China, and they're meeting in the snow out on the rubble, out on the street. And so now it's a real problem for everybody, because not just for the Christians, but for everybody else, because you get thousands of people meeting out on the street. So they arrest, the government comes and they're arresting people, and it's been going on for a year. The pastor has been under arrest for 400 and some odd days already, and the church just keeps on going. You got 1,000 people still meeting out there on that street, and you got to think, wow, what are their goals? What are their spiritual goals? You know, I got to think that maybe their spiritual goals are a little more like Jesus' here. It says, just be thou faithful unto death. It's possible that we fool ourselves because we are so filthy rich and so spoil rotten for so many years and have it ingrained in our head that this is our entitlement, that we have the right to just, you know, we just have the right to have it easy. And so that our idea is, you know, it's just all about, you know, what we can accomplish and try to make some meaning out of our life. Have you ever listened to the type of gospel that is being preached on our Sunday morning TV and radio shows?
Yeah.
And it's all about, is your life meaningful? Do you feel good about yourself? How well are you doing in your life? Do you have problems? Have you never stopped to think that maybe God has a whole different idea
Amen.
About what's important?
Amen.
And that maybe when He's looking at you in this filthy, rich world that we happen to live in, this generation, and this spoiled, rotten generation that we live in, maybe that all He's saying is, you've got to narrow your focus and say, what He wants out of you is to be faithful unto death. Maybe He just wants some faithfulness.
Amen.
So how would you define faithfulness? We were talking about accountability, and someone says, well, you know, don't we need to be accountable to ourselves? And surely you understand the importance of making yourself accountable to yourself and saying, look, I'm going to govern myself for nobody else but me. And righteousness is its own reward. You take care of yourself and whatever. But let me tell you something. Accountability, the truth is, most of us are accountable to other people. Most of us, and that's what I'm trying to get to on faithfulness. Faithfulness is about somebody else. I realize that you have to have your own core values and live your life, and I'm not sure how to distinguish that extremely well. I'm just saying, when it comes to faithfulness, it's talking about other people. When we think about a pastor who dips into the till and steals money out of the church, we think about what the damage he's done, not to the fact that he stole some money from some people, but that he was a pastor and people were dependent upon him. And that people were counting on him to be faithful. And then what happens when you say, well, the pastors, they steal? What happens when it's a priest who is molesting sexually young men that are going to it? There was a time when the fathers got to thinking about it and said, I'm not sending my daughter to confess to no priest. Now you got to watch out for the priest with your sons, and now you got to watch out for the priest with your Boy Scout leaders.
That's right.
In fact, you just ought to watch out for your sons and your daughters with everybody, because people aren't faithful. You can't count on anybody.
Amen.
What do you think about when you think about somebody faithful? Say, how about he's a faithful Christian? What's a faithful Christian? How about you pastors? You can interject here. Tell me what you think of when you think about he is a faithful brother.
Regular attends all the time.
He's at every meeting. You know us pastors, we like that. I don't know if you noticed that. Oh, man, do we like that. And you know, it makes a difference in how we think about people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to put anybody down. I know there's a lot of people who think, you know, I'm going to give God Sunday mornings. And that's fine. I understand you're going to make your decision. And trust me, God is your judge. I would encourage you to think about it a little more. But as a pastor, I can tell you, you know what we're looking for? We're looking for the chairs filled up. We hunger for that. We long for the chairs to be filled
Amen.
Up. And when there's missing chairs... In fact, I'll tell you what we do. We pastors, we get to church and we start looking around. Somebody's missing. My wife does that. She says, "Did you?" She's better than I am. She says, "Did you know who's missing?" Pop, 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 pop. That's nominal name, blah, blah. And then I have to think, okay, well, why aren't they? Oh, yeah, that's right. They told me they were going to be there. Okay, I understand that. And I'm trying to put it all together. Did you know we think that way? Because we're like Jesus. Jesus is that way. He's saying right here, be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. Hey, what I'm looking for is somebody faithful. Somebody that's there. How about you have a work day?
Yeah.
Who are the faithful ones? The ones that are there. They're the ones that said, you know, I could have done something else for my Saturday. I could have gone fishing.
Yeah.
But 8 o'clock, there they are. What can I do? And they're out there working. We had such a great work day this last time. I mean, so many people showed up. And I mean, everybody got a job they could do. And it was coordinated. Danny Newman was coordinating. Get over there. And we got, I guess, about 2 o'clock. He comes around and says, it's all done. The entire list was done. You know how that makes us feel?
Amen.
Oh, man, that makes us feel good. Be thou faithful. Faithful unto death. Wow. The idea of faithful. Did you know that faithfulness has something to do with other people? You, if you're a faithful husband, it has to do with your wife. If you're a faithful father, it has to do with your child. You know what an unfaithful father is? One who's not there. You realize it's not a big goal that you have to... It's not a huge goal that you have to achieve. You realize how easy this is to do? He's not asking you to climb a really high mountain. Be faithful. You can set up your self and say, I am going to be... Do you really think that Jesus is asking for something different than that? You think He's asking for some greater ambition in your life that you need to give yourself to this? Or, you know, you think He wants you to suffer torture and torment and go through all kinds of things and then not deny His name in the midst of horrible things? People have done that. And people have also failed in the middle of that. But I have a feeling that a whole lot more important than that is the fact that, guess what? He started off when he was 21 years old, and he didn't stop going steady one foot after another. He just kept on going until he was dead.
Amen.
You get these old folks, and they just gotta get back to church.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you talk about my mom and dad, they skipped church like about 3 months straight recently. Skip church 3 months straight. But every time I go out there to visit them, says, man, we feel like such backsliders. We got to get out and go. We got to get out. But of course, they were sick. They couldn't do it. They could not go. But I got to tell you something. When you think about faithfulness, you're thinking about someone who says, this is important. It's not just important to me. It's important to somebody else.
Amen.
Do you realize how the church suffers when you're not faithful? Like, you had a job to do at the church, right? You had to, you know, fix something, and then everybody shows up and it didn't get fixed. Well, that affects everybody, doesn't it? I mean, what happens if we show up at Oak Knoll tomorrow and the chairs aren't set up, and the thing is not mopped, and the thing is not taken care of, and there's no paper towels or you know, toilet paper in the place? Somebody's got to get around and start running around and getting things done. It has to be done. It has to happen. But if somebody's faithful, everybody counts on that. It works.
Yes.
You realize how important it is to be faithful, even if you're doing just a little bit. He that is faithful in that which is least Amen. Shall be faithful in that which is much. Do you realize how important faithfulness is in that which is least? Wow! It's important in that which is least. Because you can't even get to the much until you're faithful in that which is least. I think about faithful. I think about faithful and how it counts for lost souls. I remember one time we had a revival in León. And we invited Dale and I guess it was you and Dale. It was the first big revival we had in León. And that was the time when León was in the midst of a real expansion and just going at it hard. It was amazing. We had 500 people filling up these bleachers. Yeah, it was actually a big theater. We had a big thing place rented and what have you. And there was like 500 people showing up every night. And I remember Dale coming over and saying, man, he says, these were people that just a few years ago were lost and on the road to hell. And now they're saved and they're changed. And you know, a whole lot of them left the church and some of them are still angry at us to this day, but they're saved.
Amen.
We're going to see them in heaven.
Amen.
They might hate my guts, but not then. When we get there, they're going to come up and say, I remember when you preached on my street. It's going to matter. It's going to matter. You know what was required? Faithfulness.
Amen.
You just had to be there. You had to actually be there. You realize that wouldn't have happened if somebody didn't go there?
That's right.
Somebody had to get up and say, no, I've got to go there. I have been so tired, so worn out, and get all the way home and remember that I had a study that I had to go to. I had told somebody, I'm going to go to your house. And I'm talking about, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I said I was going to go visit this house. And I'm just worn out, and I say, sorry. And I've actually had it, and my wife is excellent on this, but she'd say, look, you can go tomorrow. And I said, nope. I'm going tonight. Because I said I was going to go. Do you know what it means to be faithful to your word? You say, I'll do that. Well, then you got to do it. You say, well, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter. Your faithfulness to your word matters. What if it costs you something? You remember the story about Abraham Lincoln who walked so many miles to pay back a penny that he'd gotten paid extra? It's probably spurious. It's probably not real. Probably didn't happen. But the story was important because it's teaching us the value of being faithful. Something you say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. But yeah, it does add up when it's about your word and it's about your decisions in your life and it's about whether somebody else knows they can count on you. This happened over and over and over again. You do not know. Listen, I've had a lot of coworkers. They were talking about, you know, getting along with coworkers. All coworkers have their arguments, okay? All coworkers have their problems and faults, and every one of us have committed something stupid and hurt somebody else in their life. And most of us have put up with each other pretty well. And the truth is, we've actually done better than all of our people that followed after us. I mean, we got along pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
In all those years. You know what I noticed about that? Is that all of these men were faithful.
Yeah.
They weren't always right. They weren't always good. They were sometimes wacko. They were out of their mind. Sometimes they were, and I guess they would say the same thing about me sometimes. But you know what? When it was time to go preach, there they were. How about that? You show up and there they are. And if someone shows up 5 minutes late, you know what they do? They say, I'm sorry I'm late.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
They feel bad about that. Now what about somebody who shows up 5 minutes late regular? And never says sorry about that. Never thinks about it. And if you have that, tick in your life, that I'm not trying to just pick on you. Well, actually, why not? Maybe it's the Holy Spirit trying to pick on you. You know, really, is it that hard to get there on time? Is it that hard to be there where you're supposed to be, where you said you'd be, where you gave yourself to the Lord? You say, I'm just going to be faithful. It's important to the work. It's important for people to get saved that you go where you said you were going to go, that you do what you said you were going to do. You know how many missionaries that I knew, not from our church, because I would tell on them if they were from my church. I'd tell on them. I really would. And none of them were that way. But you know how many missionaries I know from other churches that I saw them firsthand and were not doing the work?
That's right. A lot of them.
They were not doing the work. Now, we have a lot of missionaries that we have a lot of confidence in. And we do kind of weed through them. And I'm not going to be sending money to some missionary I think is a waste of time that's not doing the work. But you know how many missionaries I knew that would go into a place and buy a church and then send back prayer letters saying, they got this church right here. I knew them. Most of the ones I knew were independent Baptist missionaries. And I'm sorry that I have to say that to you. But let me tell you something. That really doesn't sit well with any of us.
Amen.
I mean, you go down there and buy somebody else's work and then act like you did something and you didn't do anything. And you're sucking the money away from churches because you got pictures you can show. It happens. And I'm not trying to down anybody on missions in general, because there's a lot of good men trying to do their job and we don't want to hurt them in any way. But one thing I can tell you, it matters whether they're faithful or not. It matters whether you're faithful. You say, well, I'm just one person. And that's an empty chair if you're not there. And that's someplace, somebody that could be listening to the gospel if you're not there. Somebody misses out. You realize faithfulness has to do with somebody else. It's not about you. You say, well, I'm tired, and so you just blow off your children. You say, well, I'm tired, so you just blow off your wife. Well, that's going to hurt somebody. The faithfulness has to do with them, not with you. And what about God? This is Jesus saying that. Hey, be faithful. I mean, be so faithful that it will surprise somebody if you're not there. You didn't show up. You said you're going to be there, and then you didn't show up. And it surprised them. Where are they? I have showed up at church and saw that my father's car wasn't there and said, something's funny. His car is always there before mine. You know, that's something funny. Something's wrong. One time, I went to check the mail, and the mail was gone. So I said, oh, the mail's not there. That means my dad came by. He's going to be at work, and he's going to be at church. I go over to church, and there was no car there. I'm thinking, this is really strange. I know there had to be mail in that mailbox, because that mailbox is always full. Well, I don't know what he did. He went out and got a coffee or something. I'm not sure. But he showed up a little later. But it surprised us, right? You know what that means? That means everybody was expecting that car to be there. Somebody was expecting that. It was something that you just knew was going to happen, because that was going to happen. Now, all of us can admit to unfaithfulness at times. But you know, there is a difference between a faithful man and an unfaithful man.
That's right.
There's something you've just got to be willing to say. There's a line you can draw somewhere. Maybe there is a gray area. But you know, you can still draw a line somewhere and say, look, I have not been faithful. I have not been doing the right thing. I have not been fulfilling my thing with... And think about it in the sense of God saying, all right, now I'm looking at you. Maybe it matters to God.
Amen.
Maybe it matters to God that you are where you are supposed to be. That you do what you're supposed to do. How many of you think you can keep your job if you show up there 5 minutes late every single day? I don't think so. Any bosses in here? That doesn't matter to you? I have a feeling. How about just miss? You know, me and Joey were building houses in Irapuato, and we hired a couple of guys. And they didn't show up on the Monday. They had a really good weekend, and they just didn't show up on Monday. And two other people came on that Monday. We hired them. They didn't show up. The first two that we hired didn't show up on that Monday. Two other people showed up on that Monday, and they wanted a job. We said, okay, we hired them. On Tuesday, four people came. The two original ones wanted their job back, and the second two came. And the two originals, sorry, we gave your position to someplace else, somebody else. And they acted like that was not fair. Of course, maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
It was fair.
But it made a difference to me.
Yep.
Somebody showed up on Monday.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Amen.
Of course, then they messed up the next week, so we fired them all. We fired them all and built that house by ourselves. Oh, Mike wasn't even in Irapuato at that time. He taught us how to do it, but then he went off and loafed. I don't know what he did over there. You did come over there and do the roof on that thing, didn't you? There you go. All right. Now I want you to think about something else. Just consider faithfulness, because this is really an important thing. In fact, more important than how much you get done or how wonderfully you get it done. Just the fact that you're there, you can be counted on. All right. Now, there's another point. He says, be faithful unto death. And I realize that this is in the context of some real tribulation. And the Bible does mention over there about the evil day that comes, you know, and you've got to withstand the devil in the evil day. And evil days do come. We're not prosperity gospel people. Evil days do come. In fact, the prosperity gospel can only survive in a tremendously spoiled nation like ours. There's no prosperity gospel in China, I can tell you that. There's no prosperity gospel in Iran. It just doesn't exist. But the prosperity gospel exists here, where people can milk it and make it you think that if you'll just trust in Jesus, everything's going to be working out hunky-dory, things will be fine. It's just simply not true. Evil days are coming. To the righteous and to the unrighteous, it's coming. The evil days are coming. Another thing that you ought to understand when he says you stand fast in the evil day, you have to understand that most days are not evil days. Do y'all realize that, right? Even when you have some bad days, well, most, you just had forgotten how good you had it.
That's right.
The truth is, if all you have is good days, you're probably complaining about your good days. Right? And then when you have an evil day, you realize, boy, you used to have it good. You ever heard about the good old days, you know? How good you used to have it? The truth is, there is a difference between those two things. You can, a whole lot of people want to paint a silver lining on everything, you know. They want to say the glass is half full. The glass is half full. Even though the glass is half empty as well. But, you know, what if the glass is broken on the floor? Well, then it's not half full. Right? You have to be able to say some things are bad. Somebody mentioned, I guess it was yesterday, that sometimes, oh, this was Brian and his message, sometimes you have to mourn. I just do not agree with this idea that Christians just rejoice all the time, no matter what. Sometimes you cry. The Bible says, weep with them that weep. That was a point made by Brian yesterday, and I absolutely agree with it. I don't believe that this frivolous laughter and funny, an enjoyable party at a funeral, they didn't do that for Stephen. They made great lamentation over Stephen because he had some babies that weren't going to have a father. He had a wife that had been left behind. It was a sad day. And when we lose somebody, it's a sad day. So you know the difference. Make sure you understand the difference and react appropriately. If you don't react appropriately, they put you in a manicomio. They put you in an insane asylum. If you do not act appropriate to what's happened, for an example, if somebody dies and you rejoice, they think you're crazy. This is true. I interpret for psychiatrists all the time, and they're trying to find out, how do you react with this and with that? Somebody says this, how do you react? Do you have empathy? And they're trying to write it all out. They write it all out, and then they go to the judge and say, he's not thinking straight. His emotions don't react right. Christians need to react correctly. If you have something sad that happens to you, recognize this is a bad day. Job had a bad day.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? He had a bad day. You can't come, you can't sweet talk it, you can't make it better, you can't make it easier. It was a bad day. Amen. And his friends did come and comfort him and gave him his 7 days of respite. And of course it was a mistake when they started blaming him for his bad day. But all of those things beside, we recognize Job had a bad day and he knew it was a bad day, and there's no point sugarcoating it. Now where I was going with this is, he talks about the evil day and how you got to stand and make it through those evil days, and that's a huge part of faithfulness, because faithfulness matters when you're hurting. Faithfulness matters when everything goes wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
When it's easy, it matters then too. You just need to be faithful even when it's easy. But when everything goes wrong, that's when who's the one that said push through on that marathon? You just got to push through that part that really gets hard. You got to push through and get past it, and then it'll be easier again. That's what faithfulness is talking about, the evil day. I want you to hear what Jesus says, though. He didn't say be faithful to the tribulation. He says be faithful unto death. Unto death. He's not looking for any fly-by-night Christians or Christians of easy time. He's saying, look, we're talking about being faithful the long haul. We're not talking about a sprint. Be faithful unto death. What are you planning on? What's your idea of your Christian life? If it's just about right now and things going how it's helping you now, in fact, it's a whole wrong focus to think about how Christianity is helping you now. Because it might not be helping you tomorrow. It might actually be the cause of your problems tomorrow. In fact, let me tell you something. Have you noticed how our religious freedoms are eroding in front of our eyes? How they're telling us we can't talk about the Bible. We can't even pray in school. They say we can't pray in school. That's nonsense. You can pray in school. That's just absolute nonsense. And you can witness in school. You can read the Bible in school. You can go all kinds of things. They're smoking their socks. We got a letter at our church the other day by a group called United for the Separation of Church and State. And it wrote on there and said, you pastors of you churches in this election better not mention any endorsement of any candidate or whatever. You can talk about issues, but you can't talk about that, or you'll lose your exemption, whatever. And I just tore it up and threw it in the trash. You know what? They don't want us to talk about anything. Nonsense. We have the right to talk about whatever the things we want to talk about. It's called freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
Yeah, amen.
These are unalienable rights God gave us.
Amen.
Now, you realize that now they don't talk about what the First Amendment says? The First Amendment being freedom of expression, religion, and that you make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. Now, understand what that freedom means. The free exercise of your religion. You know what they call it now? Everybody's doing it now. In the United Nations, they do it right here in the United States. They do it in Mexico. They call it freedom of worship. Because what they want you is to feel like you have the freedom of worshiping God in your little building, but that you don't have the right to be a Christian at work. They don't want you to think you have the right. You know what bothered me about this thing in Benghazi when they were talking about this video? That they came out and said, this video is detestable. But what if it wasn't? Muhammad was a liar. He was deceived by Satan. And you know, if I say that, what is our president going to say? That's detestable. That's disgusting. That's horrible. No, it's not.
True.
It's just plain true. I haven't seen that video. I don't know whether it's good or bad. But what if it was good and they're saying that sort of thing about it? You realize that tribulation comes and all kinds of issues come and we're to be faithful unto death. What I'm trying to say is Jesus Christ is giving us a command about the long run, about the long haul. And you need to think over what's coming. What's happening? Because slowly, right in front of our eyes, things are changing. And you know, it's not like it's surprising because the Bible told us these things are going to happen. These things are going to happen. These things are going to change. He didn't say you were going to be pampered all your life. We don't believe in the prosperity gospel. We've told you that from the start, this church. We've never believed in the prosperity gospel. And when we preached in Mexico, we never said it's going to be easy for you if you get saved, right? We told them exactly what Jesus told them. You might lose your family. You might lose your job. You might lose your life. Jesus did say, take up your cross and follow me, didn't he? He that loveth his life shall lose it. You know what he says over here in Revelation a little bit later? He says, they love not their lives unto the death. You know how Paul said he got through all that? He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Ready to die. Are you ready to die for your principles? You say, boy, I don't know about that. I don't want to, you know. But that's what Jesus is saying. Think it over. Be thou faithful unto death. And if you don't like that challenge, get out while the getting's good. So I'm serious about this. Get out. It's time to get off this train. Because this is the train. This is the gospel train, right? This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, this is it. Be thou faithful unto death. Somebody's going to have to stand. Somebody's going to have to stand. Somebody has to stand up and say, no, I'm not bowing. I'm not moving. You do not know how much I respect that Yosef Nadarkhani that said to the Iranian government, no, I will not recant. I will not change my mind. I will not be that way. I did not do anything wrong. I do believe in Jesus. All that stuff. And they gave him the sentence of death and held him there for 3 years. And he never recanted, never backed off until they finally couldn't do anything. They couldn't do one and they couldn't do the other. So they just sent him out of the country. Now, a whole lot of people died. He was just the one who got famous. He got noticed.
Right.
What I'm telling you is, this is your decision as well. God is saying, be thou faithful unto death. There's some things you just got to hold on to. You got to say, this is more important. In fact, you need the sentence of death in yourself right now. You need to think this over. Have you ever heard the statement, I know Christians who are willing to die for Jesus, but they're not willing to live for Jesus. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. If you're willing to die for Jesus, you're willing to live for Him. In fact, this doesn't even make sense to talk like that. The reason why they're saying that is because people say they're willing to die for Jesus, but they're not willing to live for Jesus. And what that means, if they're not willing to live for Jesus, they certainly aren't going to be ready to die for Him.
Right.
They're not going to be ready to die for Him. But this is what Jesus wants. Now, I don't know how many of us have it. I don't know how strong we are. We might be some of those that Paul compelled to blaspheme.
Yeah.
He did compel some to blaspheme, it says so. And you don't know how many Christians during the time of Smyrna, during the time of the great imperial persecutions, how many Christians bought their certificates to say that they had bowed down to idols and they hadn't bowed down to idols and they thought that was good enough. They bought their certificates. And maybe they're saved. Maybe God says, that's okay. You know, you were weak, whatever. In fact, I might be tempted to buy a certificate. You know, it's a simple little way to get out of it. And they used it by the millions. But you know what Jesus is asking for you? From you? Be thou faithful unto death. And now it might be that it's not about you being tortured to death. It might be that it's not about you being like John Bunyan and spend 12 years in prison just for the right to preach on the street and leave his little blind girl destitute for 12 years, raised by somebody else, because of just the plain principle of the thing. And I'm sure you got a good reason to say, I'm going to take care of my blind girl. You read his letter. He says, my heart broke about my little blind girl. I can't do nothing about it. I cannot stop preaching. So somebody else raised his little blind girl for 12 years. Basically, Jesus is saying unto death, all the way. And if you don't have this, if it doesn't go overboard in our generation and we get through it, it's still the same sentence of death in yourself. You say, look, this is the long haul. I'm going on this road till death. This is till death. It's like when you get married. Does anybody get married saying, until we get tired of each other? I do accept you until we get tired of each other and we both decide we don't like each other anymore and, you know, the spark disappears. Nobody makes those kind of vows because it would be meaningless. That's a meaningless vow. We say, till death do us part.
Amen.
And some of us mean it. You better mean it.
Amen.
I think we ought to mean it. If we say, till death do us part, be faithful to your word. And I know that there are some things that are hard to overcome. I understand that. All right, I believe that it's a lifelong thing. And that you ought to make straight paths for your feet so that you can take one step after another in your Christian walk forever.
Amen.
Till the day you die.
Amen.
Faithful unto death. And then the third point that I wanted to make is he says, thou. And the reason why I say this is because if you're going to be faithful, it's going to come in a time, at least sometime, when you're all by yourself. Alone. You know what a lot of people lose their faithfulness over? They don't stand fast in the evil day. They don't withstand the wiles of the devil. A lot of them over convenience.
Yes, that's right.
A lot of them, if they say, well, you know, it's just really inconvenient to go to church, to witness. It's inconvenient to tithe. It's inconvenient to live like a Christian. It's inconvenient to make stands against, say, pornography in my life, or make stands against this or that or the other thing. It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient. You know, a lot of people are pro-life until their daughter gets pregnant.
That's right.
I know them. They were pro-life. Then all of a sudden, their daughter gets pregnant. And now, well, you know, we got to think things over. Maybe it's up to her. Well, now that's pro-choice. If it's up to her. Now, if we were to put it up to the baby, that might be different. If we could ask the baby, would you like to be cut up into little pieces and fed to the dogs? Or would you like to live? Let the baby answer, and then, you know, that could be called pro-choice. But if it's the mom, that pro-choice is horrible. But people are faithful until it's inconvenient. Can you imagine how are you going to explain that to God if the reason you're unfaithful is because it was inconvenient to you? It's inconvenient. Do you realize that the Presbyterian Church in Moscow was demolished just a few weeks ago? Demolished by the government. The first thing they did was they took away their prime location downtown. Thousands of members in the Presbyterian Church in Moscow. They took away their location downtown and relocated them to way out of town, which is horribly inconvenient. That's terrible. But they did that, and they accepted it, and they started having their meetings way out of town. And it kept growing and kept going, and the Russian Orthodox Church didn't like it. So they teamed up with the wonderful government that we have and that we are close allies to right now, and everything's all hunky-dory, and they teamed up with them and went out and bulldozed that building. It's been bulldozed because it's not Russian Orthodox. That's pretty inconvenient.
Yeah.
Somebody is serving God when it's inconvenient. Somebody's going out of their way, way, way inconvenient, and still being faithful to God. And how about us when we can't even be faithful to God on the merest things? Like, I'm tired. Some people, because of fear. How does Psalm 112 say it? He'll fear no evil tidings. His heart is fixed. He trusteth in his God. Fears no evil tidings. Remember one time John and me, it was after the other brothers went to Poland. So John and me are in there trying to pick up the pieces and keep going, you know, because it was a hit for us. We lost some of our good friends and co-workers for years, and a lot of the church was depressed. And so we're saying, let's go for it good. And so we're out preaching in this communist neighborhood. And we almost got done with the whole neighborhood before they gave us any trouble. But finally, one night we're out there preaching, and a whole crowd of them come around with shovels, sticks, machetes, that sort of thing. And they surround us and say, you don't ever come back here again. You come back here again, we're gonna beat you to the inch of your life, that sort of thing. Okay, thank you. And I told the guy right there, said, I tell you what, tomorrow night, I'm going to be on that corner right over there. Don't you do it. If you do it, we're going to beat you. And this is the colonia, this is the neighborhood that the police would not, no, the taxis won't drive you in there, they'll drop you off at the edge. The police won't go into this neighborhood. Because it's controlled by a communist party group that they're very strong, like a union sort of a thing, and they have their own police, they have their own setup, and it's just not worth getting into a fight with them. That's the idea that most people have. So, and we're preaching in this neighborhood, and they said, you're not coming back. So we weren't going to be protected by the police or whatever. So as we're leaving, John says, I just don't think we ought to go back. And John, look, John is the faithfulest missionary out there. I honestly do believe he's one of the best missionaries ever. But he was thinking, you know something? I don't think we should go back. And I said, John, did they hit you? He said, no. Well, then they haven't done anything to us yet. I said, if he had hit you, we wouldn't go back. That's all it takes. But we can't just pick up and run because of fear. Just because of pure bluff. Just because they say they're going to do something. So the next night, trembling, and I was trembling too, folks, by the way. We walk over there to that thing and knocked on every door and preached, and nobody showed. Preached to the few little families that were out there, but nobody came. They weren't afraid, and they didn't come. But you see, the real problem is a lot of people stop being faithful because of things in their mind, and it's all in the mind. It's just all up here. You're afraid of something. You can be afraid of shadows that don't even exist. You know, it's easy. You've heard, I'm sure, your wife fear consequences, things that might happen that we have no even reason to believe that it has happened. Somebody didn't call, and so what? They are on the road. They've been in a wreck. They're being, you know, what are the worst possible fears? You cannot live in fear. But if you're unfaithful because of fear, and there's a lot of people, there's all kinds of fears in the world. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. There's all kinds. If you're going to fear evil, it's out there. It's everywhere, and you live in fear everywhere you go. And if you're willing to be unfaithful because of fear, that's probably a better reason than because it's inconvenient. And a lot of people are unfaithful in the Christian life because of fear. And I understand that. And I am truly not going to judge them. I'm just not going to judge them. Because that'll be God's judging them in that day. But I am of the personal opinion that when Jesus says, be thou faithful unto death, that obviously means you can't be unfaithful because of fears. You have to overcome your fear.
Amen.
And if it happens so that it comes to our position where somebody is going to put us in a position where we're in trouble, or they're threatening us, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, somebody needs to stand in the face of that kind of adversity. Somebody's got to stand strong and say, no, I'm not moving. And it's going to be something difficult. Trust me, it's difficult. But that's where the victory is. At least I believe that's where the victory is. Now here's another one. A whole lot of people are unfaithful because of friends.
Yeah.
They are really touched by peer pressure. A whole lot of people, their friends and what their friends think matters to them, or parents, or family, or what have you. But I got to thinking about that, this peer pressure, this idea of peer pressure, and I realized other people are afraid to be alone. You do realize what leadership is, right? Leadership is willing to be alone. That is honestly, this is really what it gets down to, the nitty gritty. A leader is one who's willing to walk out there alone. The guy that broke the Soviet Union, the guy that broke the Soviet Union named Lech Walesa, you know what he did? He crossed that line. He crossed that gate over there in Gdansk. He crossed that gate by himself. There were thousands of people all around him. But nobody was going over that gate where those soldiers were. Nobody was. Thousands. But till one guy did, that guy climbed up over and started walking toward those soldiers. Because one person was willing to do it alone, 10,000 people started climbing that gate. And after a while, that gate is just broken to pieces and those soldiers are leaving. And they left all over Eastern Europe. And we have missionaries in Poland to this day because of that. Somebody was willing to stand up and say, by myself. Now see, here's the point. You cannot depend on somebody else to be faithful for you.
That's right.
If you're going to be faithful, you have to be willing to be faithful all by yourself. And that's scary. But he says, be thou faithful unto death. Be thou. It's a personal thing to you. Jesus is saying, you gotta make some decisions in your life. You've got to come up with something. You've got to be faithful. Now, I got to thinking about what the Bible tells us to be faithful in and to stand fast on. And I know that, you know, we can, there's a million things, but I just got to think, you look up the words in the Bible, you know, steadfast or stand fast or hold fast or, those kind of words, fixed and, you know, stuck or, you know, whatever it is. These are good words in the Bible. You look them up. And you'll find a number of things. I found one. He says, hold fast the form of sound words. You know, we as a church, we're pretty stubborn about the old Bible. People think we're crazy. And I don't mean that in a figurative way. They really think we're just, we've lost our minds. They think, but what do you mean the King James? That thing's old. I can't even understand it and what have you. Well, the truth is, we got tired of people changing it. We got tired of the corrections. We got tired of all the you know, the reasons for this change and the reasons for that change and the reason, the accusations of error here and there. And finally we say, no more. We're not changing. No more. Nobody's going to change it for us. Nobody's going to correct it. Nobody's going to improve it. You're just either going to preach it and believe it or just stay away from us.
Amen.
Now you see, that's the kind of attitude Jesus is saying. Hold fast. He says, be thou faithful unto death. There's some things you grab a hold of and you do not let go.
Amen.
You look up those things in the Bible. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made us free, or Christ has made us free. Stand fast in the liberty. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't lose the gospel message. Don't lose your doctrine. Another place he says, hold fast the traditions that we gave you. You realize how many good things have been given to you?
Yeah.
That aren't necessarily tremendous doctrines. They're just really good traditions. I'm just amazed. I think of the open meeting as a tremendous gift from God.
Yes.
I think of designated offerings as a tremendous gift of God that requires a complete rethinking of most people's minds. They just cannot understand how it works or how it could possibly work. He says, hold fast. Hang on to some things. Some things God has given you, he says, don't let them go. Hang on to them all the way till you die.
Amen.
You say, well, it just doesn't make sense because the King James Bible cannot last another 500 years. Now, come on. In 500 years, somebody's going to have to update it. He didn't say 500 years. He said until you die.